Now, to Pike and what's happening in the Congress. It's all yours.
Well, thank you. Yesterday, I sent out an alert reporting that I had talked to Senator Kennedy's aide. And Senator Kennedy, of course, is the prime architect of the Senate version of the federal hate crimes bill. The bill number is S-909, and the House version passed last week, as many people know. And this aide told me that today, during Senate judiciary hearings, even though the hate bill was not on the roster of subjects to be discussed, he said they could bring it up and they could vote on it today to send it forward to a vote in the House. And this is very alarming because what we saw last week in the House of Representatives was incredibly fast movement of the hate bill forward under the leadership of Representative John Conyers. He had tried to hide the hate bill over the spring break, but I was able to ferret it out even before the break began and alerted the nation. And we got a number of Christian conservative organizations sounding the alarm. We were able to make that very public, but even when the members of Congress came back, incredibly, in only several days, they had that through the House Judiciary Committee and onto the floor for a tremendously devastating blow to freedom. They voted 249 to 175 in favor of the hate bill. Now, obviously, we've been very afraid that the same thing would happen in the Senate. Just last week, last Tuesday, Senator Kennedy introduced his bill into the judiciary, and we've been watching it very closely for fear that in a under-the-table, underhanded move, Patrick Leahy would give us a repeat performance of taking it through the Senate Judiciary Committee today without hearings and onto the floor of the Senate for a vote and a very, very high probability of passage. But today, Senator Leahy is noncommittal. They are not going to consider the hate bill today. We've been getting a lot of calls in. I was on seven different talk shows yesterday speaking on about 350 stations nationally warning Christian conservatives to call in. And there was a lot of calling this morning, and Leahy has declared that he is not going to promise hearings, and he's not going to promise a timetable when they'll move this hate bill through. But he does say he will give us a week's notice on the Judiciary Government website when the hearing will take place. And I'm encouraging people today to continue to batter and create an avalanche of protests coming in, especially to the Senate this week, letting them know that we demand hearings on this federal hate crimes bill. I'm describing it now as a pedophile protecting bill, because this is exactly what the watchdogs, the Republican watchdogs in the House Judiciary last week described it as. Representative King demanded that there be some provision in the hate bill that it would exclude pedophiles from special federal protections. The Democrats rejected that common sense and reasonable amendment, and then Representative Gohmert was outraged, saying, well, what this means is that the federal hate bill will protect all forms of sexual deviancy, and if a woman sees her daughter being raped by a pedophile or son being raped by a sodomite, and she even hits that pervert with her purse, she can be indicted as a federal hate criminal. So things are moving fast, but the people are beginning to speak out, and I am increasingly gratified.
Now, could you help those of us that might not be as keyed in on the procedure? You recommend that we have hearings, and we also do know that in the House, it went with electric speed almost to have this happen. So what is a normal procedure on a contemplated bill, and what do they do to, go ahead without taking the procedure? When you call for a judicial hearing, what are you requesting?
Well, there are two. It has to go through two gauntlets in the House and Senate. It's first put in to the Subcommittee on Crime. Let's just go back to what happened in the House. It was put in the Subcommittee on Crime back in the first part of January. I'm talking about the federal hate crimes bill was put in, and it should have at least a couple of days of hearings. It should have had 2 days of hearings at least, under withering scrutiny, certainly by the Republicans in the Subcommittee on Crime. But what Conyers did was he yanked it out of the Subcommittee on Crime with no hearings at all, not even a vote, I don't think. He took it out. He denied the Republicans the opportunity to attempt to correct it or amend it. Then he didn't really give hearings either, although we avalanched them with protests. All he acquiesced to, all he conceded to, was to allow Republicans to add amendments, propose amendments in the markup, which is the last stage before it goes to the floor for a vote. And during the markup, we had Republicans very feisty, very, very powerfully objecting to the hate bill. They introduced probably 17 or 18 amendments. All were rejected. One of the final amendment was this amendment by Representative King demanding that the federal hate bill, at least, if it's going to protect homosexuals with special rights and protections, at least it should have some clear statement in there excluding pedophiles, which is a very illegal activity of raping of little boys and girls. At least have a clear statement that this bill will not protect pedophiles, and that was rejected by the Democrats on the judiciary. Now, here we're 2 years ago when the hate bill was introduced by Senator Kennedy. It went through judiciary with absolutely none of the necessary hearings. A hearing means that you announce a hearing about a week ahead of time. That gives legal experts, civil liberties experts, et cetera, around the country opportunity, if they are invited and they apply and are invited, to make a plane trip to Washington, book a hotel, and be ready maybe Monday morning, go down to the Senate Judiciary Chambers and give their testimony. Well, that's something we have to insist on. It was short-circuited in the House, but we've got to insist on that here this time. And then it'll go to a markup after all the testimonies come in. Maybe days of testimony should come in. Pro and con, but testimony from lovers of freedom testifying about what has happened, especially under hate laws in foreign countries like Canada, Europe, etc. And so one of the reasons we want to insist on judiciary hearings in the Senate is because this is a powerful delaying tactic. What we don't want is for them to rush the bill through very quickly. We want time for the American people to really catch up, come up to speed on how this is a horrendous bill which will federally protect some 549 different forms of sexual deviancy, giving special legal protections, special police attention, special attention of the district attorneys, both federal and state, to come to the aid of pedophiles and every other kind of sexual abomination under this special umbrella of protection. So we've got to get the word out to everybody that this bill is primarily a pedophile protecting a hate bill, and that really resonates with the average person. Even liberals are revolted by the idea of pedophiles who molest little boys and girls having special rights and privileges.
We'll go to break. It's your pleasure to listen to Pastor Ted Pike. We will invite you, the listener, to join with us for your question and comment. Does this affect you? Yes, it does. Good afternoon and welcome back to Born on the 4th of July. I'm your host, Barbara Jean. Today's guest, Pastor Ted Pike, who has had a ministry, hails from the Northwest, and has been very diligent in regard to legislation like this. It's kind of raised its ugly head in other years, hasn't it? You've been working on this issue for quite some time.
Well, actually, it was first introduced in 1998 by the Anti-Defamation League, who is the architect of this legislation, and ADL was very confident they could get it passed more than 10 years ago. And what they encountered, though, was this problem of these feisty Republicans, especially in conference, who would continue to strip the hate bill off even though it was passed by the House or by the Senate. And this the ADL has been bedeviled again and again and again, and our National Prayer Network has played an important role in marshaling opposition and encouraging education and calling and so on against this hate bill. We have defeated it five different times over the past decade, but I think this is probably the very greatest threat, the greatest challenge this time around, because primarily we've got a president who is just waiting there in the Oval Office to sign it.
It's amazing to me. What we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, a few decades ago wouldn't have been discussed over the air. Isn't that correct?
Well, that's right. The ADL is began the whole idea of hate crimes legislation in the United States in 1988 when they had a national competition open to law students in the United States to help craft a model hate law for America. And beginning with their Hofstra conference at Hofstra University in New York, ADL went out during the 1990s, and they persuaded nearly 45 states to adopt some version of their hate crimes laws. And about 1998, they made their first attempt to have their federal hate crimes law passed, and it was defeated. But the federal law is the ultimate prize for ADL. It will give them the opportunity to from Washington, D.C., they'll be in the driver's seat of hate crimes investigation, arrest, indictment, prosecution throughout America. And with local law enforcement united with federal law enforcement, which is what this bill wants to do, breaking down states' rights in law enforcement, they will basically have a police state where there's no restrictions on federal power to come down and investigate and prosecute not just hate crimes, not just violent hate crimes, but all kinds of hate crimes, including all felonies in the United States. This is one of the hidden phrases in this bill, is that it allows the federal government to come in for any kind of felony, regardless of whether it is even related to bias or hate. So this is a massive attempt by ADL to establish itself in federal power over hate law enforcement throughout the state. And we should also be aware that in 1990, the ADL successfully had Congress pass its Hate Crime Statistic Act. And the Hate Crime Statistic Act gives ADL the privilege of defining hate, teaching a hate law theory, and statistics reporting, all those kinds of things, to the Justice Department, to the FBI, and to every police station in America. So that every local police precinct receives regular videos from the ADL, hate crimes training seminars, updates, warnings against right-wing Ron Paul supporters and things like that, all coming down from ADL. And ADL, of course, is an adjunct, the Civil Liberties Muscle Organization, an adjunct of B'nai B'rith International. And they are both a very, very dedicatedly Jewish supremacist organizations dedicated to promoting pornography, obscenity, homosexuality. In addition to wanting to tear down our crosses, tear down our manger scenes, and Ten Commandments, all that kind of stuff. The ADL, the ACLU, the Southern Law Poverty Law Center are all basically Jewish organizations who have a very heavy grudge against Christianity and Christian advancement in the world. And they're very interested in trashing Christian values so that their own Judaic one-world government can be established.
And you will stand by that, though that is very, very volatile statement. You will stand by that because you have researched, you have the connection, you have the writings, the documentation to stand by your statement, right?
Absolutely. I have a video. In fact, you can watch this video at truthtellers.org, which is our website. It's called Hate Laws Making Criminals of Christians. And I go back in this documentary. It's an 80-minute documentary, and I follow the very closely document the path of ADL from their Hofstra conference in New York, also up in Canada in 1971, after about 10 years of lobbying. ADL convinced the Parliament in Canada to enact the federal hate crimes law. And Section 319, of course, the notorious hate law of Canada, has taken away free speech for all dissenters, but particularly for Christians and those on the political or religious right. And not only that, ADL is actively involved in Europe in setting up a hate crimes bureaucracy there with 55 member nations.
We'll go to break. We'll be right back. Pastor Pike on Born on the 4th of July. Call your senators, 877-851-6437. That number again, toll free, 877-851-6437. Or then the number 1-202-225-3121, the name of your particular representative or senator. And don't kid yourself, you could call those representatives and chastise them or encourage them for their particular vote on this issue. Let them hear from you. What about the words discernment, learning, opinion, a critique, philosophy, choices, critical assessment, decisions that one might make? How do they all fit in this idea of coming to a certain attitude of maybe lifestyle? I know that some of the leaders in the House are overjoyed by the passage of this particular legislation. Let's look at what Representative Stephen King, Republican of Ohio, offered in his amendment. A simple one line. The term sexual orientation as used in this act or any amendments to this act does not include pedophilia. Ladies and gentlemen of America, that amendment was struck down by your House of Representatives. Are we living in such a society? Now, Pastor, it seemed like it indicated, maybe it was on your website or somebody else's, that Alcy Hastings was just thrilled over the passage of this legislation.
Yes, he was. When I heard Alcy Hastings, who is very much a pro-hate bill supporter, saying that not only would pedophiles and homosexuals be protected, but a whole host. In fact, the American Psychiatric Association has 549 different types of sexual deviancy, and Hastings said they're basically all welcome to have special federal protection under this bill, so that they can now live without fear because of what they are. Now, here he really let the cat out of the bag. In fact, when I heard him say that during the House hearings last week, I knew the Lord had delivered them into my hands, because they had given me a wonderful point of advantage, position of advantage over all of this hate bill rhetoric and evasion and so on. They were saying there very, very clearly, and this is also attested by Representative King and Gohmert and many others of the Republican contingent, that this is basically a pedophile of defending and protecting a bill. And what I did immediately, as soon as I heard Hastings' statement, was I began to trumpet this on my website, on the internet and talk radio, saying this is the big issue we have to go after them about now. Is not necessarily that hate laws have taken away freedom of speech in Europe and Canada, etc. Not necessarily that it will unite federal and law enforcement. Not necessarily that local laws and traditional laws adequately punish all kinds of crimes. We've used all those arguments before. Now we have to go for the jugular. We have to say to our members of the House, basically, do you want to go on, members of the Senate, do you want to go on record as supporting and voting for a pedophile protecting hate bill? Do you want to face your constituents at election time with in a close race and an aggressive candidate opposing you and have him say that you voted for the pedophile protecting hate bill? And Elsie Hastings' statement is absolutely clear. Now, at our website, which is www.truthtellers.org, people should go to the home page right there as our top video. Right at the top of the list of our other videos is our latest video. It's entitled Stop the Pedophile Protecting Hate Bill. It has a picture there of Representative King. And we have the recorded the video statements by King, by Gohmert, and by Elsie Hastings. You can watch him say these awful words that all these pedophilia, all these types of paraphilias that the American Psychiatric Association says are exist will be protected so that they can no longer have to live under fear. Watch
help
that video.
Help us understand the American Psychiatric Association.
Yes. Well, you see, during the first stage of the hate bill passage last week was it went through the markup hearing, then it went to the before it went to the floor, it had to go through the House Rules Committee. Well, there were some feisty Republicans in the Rules Committee, and during the Rules Committee hearing, which lasted a couple hours, the day before it went to a vote in the House, these Republicans said, "Well, hey, let's not just exclude pedophiles from this bill. Let's add an amendment excluding a whole long list of them, these paraphilias." And they quoted the American Psychiatric Association as saying there's 546 different paraphilias, all kinds of unimaginable perversions known to medical science. And these Republicans said, well, let's expand this. Let's put a great deal of these paraphilias in an amendment in this bill. And, of course, that was rejected by the Democrats. But out on the floor of the House, Elsie Hastings said, the Republicans are bringing up all these different types of sexual aberrations, but he basically says, we're going to protect all of them. We're going to protect all these philias, he says, so that these people for a break now after centuries of persecution can live without fear. And so this is a red hot button issue which transcends all of these other somewhat academic arguments against the hate bill. Because liberals, conservatives, Christians, Jews, Muslims, they all have a visceral abhorrence of the idea of perverts raping little boys and girls. And yet here we have the Democratic contingent in Congress standing up for the right of pedophiles who are basically lawbreakers to have special rights, special police protection, special DA scrutiny, special investigative federal prerogatives under the hate bill. We're going to let all these pedophiles have all of these special protections above the general population.
For the committee that you might want to know about to call, I'll just briefly give some of the names. But it's interesting to note on the Republican side, Specter was at the top, but now we don't know where to put him. And I called one of the offices of the Senate this morning asking, how can he get away with such story if people have voted him in one party or another? And I'm not too pleased with either party. But anyway, I guess you can do that. You can change. But he was at the top of the list on this particular committee to review. And now that will go, and Mr. Hatch will now take his place. So, Mr. Leahy, you have referred to somebody named Herb Kohl, Dianne Feinstein, Mr. Feingold of Wisconsin, Mr. Schumer of New York, Harkin, and now I put Arlen Specter in that other column. We have Hatch and Grassley and Kyle and Sessions and Cornyn of Texas and Coburn. So, those are some of the names, and you can call them. Even though you might not be from their state, you can tell them your story. It's very essential. I keep feeling like we're descending down to the darker nature of man. Yeah. We are descending downward and under the guise of freedom. All crimes, I think, would be hateful. So now we're going to categorize hate. How can you do that? Now, how can this be fair to other people who might have an opposing view? Doesn't it create, if we're going to be fair on one side, don't we have to balance this? I'm going to put out the number for listeners to join with us, the number 800-313-9443. Once again, 800-313-9443. We would be happy to hear your input. A telephone call doesn't cost very much. Even if it isn't a toll-free number, you will feel better if you make your statement. Pastor, how does it get to this point where we are inundated with something like this as an urgent matter, and the world has so many urgent matters, and now it looks like this could come over in the ability for me to speak freely to you over the air? It could have a certain impact on freedom of speech. Some people say it would be the end of freedom of speech.
Well, in the broad context, we have to realize that ADL, again, has been working to subvert Christian values and civilization ever since it was established in 1913. And by the way, I don't think it's really a coincidence that the hate bill in the House was titled 1913. It's the date of the founding of the Federal Reserve. It's the date, I believe, of the inauguration of the income tax. It's also the date of the creation of ADL as an adjunct of the B'nai B'rith International. ADL is very, very involved behind the scenes on the federal level as the architect of every kind of perverse and anti-Christian legislation. And the hate crimes bill is their crown jewel. But in many other initiatives, I mentioned the Hate Crime Statistics Act of 1990, which put them in the driver's seat of education and statistics gathering for the government. They're uniting synagogue with state. They're a religious organization who derides Christians for political action, saying it violates the separation of church and state.
But you know, it would be interesting if folks could think in terms of Hare Krishnas or Presbyterians or Baptists, a faction of that religious organization having the empowerment to train police or have the empowerment of the ADL.
Yeah, so you see, ADL is composed of lawyers, Jewish lawyers, who have nothing better to do but then cook up all kinds of perverse laws, bills that intend to put fetters and restrictions and even persecution on their enemies who are Christians. And by the way, the head of the Anti-Defamation League is not some Marxist, secular Jew. He's Abraham Foxman, a devout, religious, Orthodox Jew. In his very recent book that came out several years ago, it's called Never Again, The Threat of the New Anti-Semitism. Foxman is very bold in saying that he believes and is hoping for the Jewish Messiah to come. He's a man of prayer. In fact, he resigned his place in an Orthodox synagogue in Teaneck, New Jersey, I believe it was about 1991, because he believed that the synagogue was not praying for the state of Israel as passionately as they should be. Here's a man who's an Orthodox Jew who on one hand is wrapping himself in his prayer shawl and reading from the Talmud. On the other hand, he's promoting homosexuality in the public schools. He's promoting same-sex marriage. He's promoting pornography. He's given Hugh Hefner and his daughter both Medals of Freedom awards for their pornography throughout the decades. They're always out front to take down the Christian symbols, the crosses at Christmas time. And in a broader way, the whole Jewish-controlled media, which is an adjunct and a part of ADL, is working overtime, especially in holiday seasons, to trash our Christian values and holiday traditions and symbols and all these kinds of things. You ask, why do we have all this coming at us now? Well, it's because ADL is a fertile cesspool. It's a cesspool spewing out sewage, legislative sewage, through the pipeline down into Congress. Now
we have a caller, Pastor. We have a caller who's been waiting.
Okay.
Gary in California, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right, you're on with the pastor.
Well, I spoke to the pastor at his house a few times, and it's amazing. What we have going on here is we no longer have, it appears like, state governments. They're meaningless. If there's a crime caught in a city, then the state comes in, you know, call we the people are going to prosecute. Then the government comes in and takes power and adds on their action, which is never supposed to happen in the first place. Okay, what's going on here is totally in violation of the Constitution by these governments. And the pastor is absolutely correct in stating 1913 with the ADL, the Federal Reserve Act, all these things come into play at the same time. So there was a conspiracy a long time ago to get this in line. It started in the Franklin Group, I think, in Germany, which now moved into the United States. And their whole intent is not to destroy Israel, for instance. Their whole intent is to destroy the Messiah and his people. They've already tried with the Messiah, but he rose from the dead. And so here's his people. And what's happening is they're trying to destroy that. All attacks don't come against the Muslims. I don't care what the Muslims do. They can run around the street, burn down things, do all kinds of things, have practice of their religion in your school. The Jews can do the same thing, take days off to go to their church, all of this. You know, they have the menorah on the front lawn of the Capitol in Washington, D.C., during the Christmas time. They don't call it Christmas anymore. They call it winter vacation or something. They don't call it Easter anymore. They call it some other kind of break, spring break. So what we have going on here is an absolute attack against, I hate to say this, but it appears like the white people in their religion, which is Christianity. Now, if you mention anything about this about any of the other people on this, especially as the pastor mentioned, if you mention anything about this, that the ADL, for instance, is pure Jewish, and you say something that you're logged as an anti-Semite for stating the facts.
That's
Pastor
right.
Pike, could we have this discussion if S-909 is then merged with House Bill 1913 and they come out with their final version out of conference? Could we have this conversation?
No, we couldn't. In fact, the federal hate crimes bill, if it is passed, will immediately have federal empowerment to prosecute any speaker whose words, whose sentiments, whose biblical prejudices and so on influence some unstable soul to commit a hate crime. For example, we're talking about ADL and its Jewish origins and so on, and that could be considered hate speech indictable under this law.
We'll go to break here. Very ominous. Of Thee We Sing, Great America, right? May Freedom Ring, one of the last stanzas of the last song. We're talking about the freedom to speak freely. Thanks, Gary in California, for calling in. We turn now to Dave in Massachusetts. Welcome. You're on with the pastor.
Hi, Barbara Jean, is this?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, hi, Barbara Jean. This is the first time I've ever called your show, but I'm very familiar with Reverend Pike. We're so blessed to have Reverend Pike. What an asset to God and country Reverend Pike is. But hey, Barbara Jean, I just wanted to point out, if it's okay with you, I wrote an open letter to Pope Benedict. In my most recent essay, I wrote it because of Pope upcoming visit to Israel here in the next week, and I draw Pope Benedict's attention to Abraham Foxman in the Anti-Defamation League. I have a couple of paragraphs in this essay directed toward as I say, Abe Foxman and the ADL and everything. But anyways, I think Reverend Pat enjoy reading it, but could I give out my web blog address?
Surely. We appreciate hearing from you. Why don't you share that?
Okay. It's Dave from Massachusetts, all one word, .wordpress.com.
Okay, if you'll just give that once again, and then we'll hear from Pastor Pike, okay? Give that out so someone who was trying to jot it down may not have got it all.
Okay, all one word now. It's Dave from Massachusetts .wordpress.com.
Thank you, Pastor Pike.
Yes, thank you for that, Dave. I'll have to turn here real quickly to the toll-free numbers. Let's give those again, the toll-free number to your member of the Senate. They've got to hear from you pretty quick here, 877-851-6437. Again, that toll-free number to the Senate, 877-851-6437. And the toll number is 202-225-3121. Everybody come to truthtellers.org right now. We've got a dynamite new 10-minute video there. It's called Stop the Pedophile Protecting Hate Bill. Watch that. You watch these Bearcat Republicans fighting for freedom in the House Judiciary and on the floor. And also watch this outrageous statement by Representative Alcy Hastings, in which he boldly claims that the federal hate crimes bill will protect pedophiles and 46 other forms of aberrant sexual behavior.
You wouldn't even think this could be possible.
No.
Would you?
No.
And we must find our bearings, our moral compass. And thanks to people like Dave in Massachusetts, Gary in California, all those listeners across the nation, perhaps this call in today will have helped everyone. Look to see what they're doing. Make your own call. How would it be, Pastor? What would we speak about if this goes into effect? You and I would be totally quieted, wouldn't we?
Well, we could talk about your watercolors.
Okay. And your sculptures. Anyway, for a beautiful America, we give this toast. Make your calls and let freedom ring. Thank you, Pastor Pike.
Thank you, Barbara Jean.